Do you want to become a better songwriter? Well, we created a very simple 10-minute songwriter personality test, and it's going to help you better understand who you are as a writer, and it's going to help you in the writer's room when you're writing with other writers, because you're going to be able to identify what kind of writer they are. Maybe even have them take the songwriter personality test. If you're curious and you want to take the songwriter personality test today, just visit songwriterpersonalitytest.com or go to the link on the writingworship.co website.
Brave Worship, episode 6. And Mary Beth Dunn.
Welcome to Brave Worship. Today on Brave Worship, we have a special guest with us.
And I'm excited for her to just share with everybody. She has just a wealth of knowledge and really experience. Mm-hmm. And I think her experience spans so many of our listeners' areas, you know, of expertise, whether it's songwriting, whether it's more of a performance side. She's a worship leader. She's a professor of theology, and she's a vocal coach, and just a ton of cool stuff.
So, not to mention she toured with Katy Perry. So probably I know. Everyone has heard her in the background vocals probably of some of these songs.
Well, how did you meet Tasha? Do you want to share real quick before
sure.
we get started?
Michael Farron introduced me to Tasha and her husband, Keith. I think he had known Keith for a while before. And then Tasha was getting ready to write for an album. And so Michael connected them with me to help write for that album. And so we wrote one time, and then we went to a conference together, and you were actually there. But even in that one write, just felt a real connect with her. And, you know, sometimes that just happens where you automatically just feel a connection with someone. And so we've been friends ever since. And that does not happen with every co-write, you know, where you have that camaraderie. But it just did in that case. And you met her soon after that. And I think you connected with her too. So we're really excited to have a person of her heart to come and share with the rest of you guys.
Absolutely. I'm really excited. And that's the other thing I would say about her is her heart shines, even with all her experience, that she is very humble, you know,
yeah.
And just has an awesome demeanor about her and heart and just heart for the Lord. And I can't wait for her to share.
But she will also have a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
You. She's always willing to have fun, which is yes. why I think that's part of the reason why her and I connect. We'll do some crazy fun stuff together and you too. So
yeah.
Speaking of crazy fun, how was your week this week?
It was good. It was really good. Kids are almost out of school and
yep.
running around like crazy.
Yep. I took a trip to Dallas this week.
Mm-hmm.
And got to go out to Prestonwood Baptist Church, where my friend Michael Neal's a worship leader. So that was incredible.
That was so cool. We posted some pictures. So check out both on our Facebook Brave Worship page and our Instagram. You can see pictures of what Christy got to do. But you got to be a part of writing for this awesome project, right? You
yeah.
had several songs
mm-hmm.
That you got to be a part of writing that
yeah.
they recorded live. And it's just awesome. So
yeah.
We'll have to make sure we promote that album too once
yeah.
it comes out for everybody to get their hands on that.
We'll have to let everybody know. Probably my favorite thing, and I didn't know anything about it before I got there, but you know, last time I was out there, I got to write with Paul Balash and Michael Neal one time during one of the co-writes, and we had several co-writes, but that one specifically, we just really felt God's presence in that room. And come to find out, when they were doing the live event, you know, they interspersed some just testimonies before songs and kind of, you know, setting songs up. And right before this song that we wrote during that time, that anointed feeling time, there was a man sharing his story about what happened when he was in Africa out on the mission field. And he was being approached and threatened by this guy saying he was going to kill him. And he felt like God was saying to him, I'm covering you. Keep praying. And so the threat was if he didn't stop praying, this guy was going to kill him. And he kept praying three times. And then finally, prayed that the voice of the enemy would be silenced, and this guy ran off. Simultaneously, they figured out later, we were in this little room writing this song called You Cover Me. Mm. And it basically described that whole situation, having completely no idea that that was happening.
That is crazy.
And of everything that happened, I mean, it was amazing to watch the choir. It's like 500 people and, you know, to hear the songs, but to hear the testimony, that's what really rocked my world. So I'll never forget that.
Absolutely. That's amazing.
So, and you're getting ready to go out of town. Where are you going again?
I'm going to Phoenix.
She's going to Phoenix, everyone.
I am. I'll be leading at the Crossroads Church this weekend.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
So, yeah.
So the Crossroads is where you were worship leader for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a lot of friends back in that area. And, you know, you've led at many things in that area.
Mm-hmm.
But that was kind of your hub for a long time. So.
Yeah. Yep. It still is. I still make my way out there quite a lot. But
it's not your home now because Tennessee is your home, right?
That is true. That is true.
We don't want to lose you ever again to Phoenix, even though we love you, Phoenix. But, I hope you have fun on your trip. And then when you get back, it's going to be full swing summer. So.
Absolutely.
I've been thinking, you know what would be so fun? And it's today's the day we'd have to do it. But I thought it'd be so fun to buy, or maybe you thought of that, water guns.
Oh, yeah.
Did you think of that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It was the other part of my brain. It was you. But like, how fun would that be when they get off the bus? Did you say that whole thing?
Yeah.
Then never mind. It was not me. It was you. So say what it was.
Oh, I just wanted to like squirt the kids when they got off the bus.
That would be water so guns. Fun. And today's our last chance.
I know it.
Are we going to get water guns today?
I don't know.
We're so like, we can't probably do it. It's already evening and... You're headed out to Pinkerton Park with the kids and
yep.
I'm headed to a soccer game. So
that's life. Mom. That's life, everybody.
But we could just grab the hose and spray them all down when they
that's
get off.
That's an even better
How
idea.
About that?
Let's just go do
we'll
it right
skip
now.
Skip the store and we'll just do the hose. So anyways, I hope everyone enjoys this conversation with Tasha. I know we did and it feels like it's just timely for us. So we hope you enjoy it too.
Absolutely. I'm so excited today that we have a special guest with us and a good friend of ours. Her name is Tasha Layton, and I can't wait just for her to share a little bit today from her heart with you guys. She has been a part of Girls Write Out for a long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just has the coolest wealth of experience. I can't wait for you guys to hear. She's a professor. She teaches voice. She is an artist. She's a songwriter. She's a worship leader. She's newly married.
Yeah.
And and I just can't wait for people to just get a chance to know you, Tasha, if they don't already. So would you just give us an overview of like who you are? Where have you been? How did you get to where we are today?
Well, hi, everybody. Yeah, my name's Tasha, and I was born in South Carolina in a little town called Pauline, and then grew up there and moved to California to go to graduate school, and went to seminary and worked at a church as a worship pastor, and then ended up in the music industry. I had no aspirations to do that. It just sort of happened. The door opened for me to do that. And then I worked simultaneously in the church and the music industry for many years and, you know, was a full-time session singer. A lot of people know that I toured with Katy Perry for about 5 years, as a backing vocalist and, saw the world. And then I ended up in Nashville. So here I am now and working on a project and super excited about it.
I love it. That is so much fun. How we can check on this or mention it again at the end, but after people listen to this, how can they find your stuff?
Yeah, I do have a website, TashaLaytonSmith.com, but that might change to Tasha Layton. I think I'm going to drop one of my names. I think my husband says there's too many Smiths in the world. So... and then I'm on social media under Tasha Layton. So,
okay, very cool. Well, I know that we're going to talk a little bit today about Sabbath, right?
Yeah.
And I'm excited to hear your perspective on this because I feel like, you know, when you're an artist or when you're in ministry, I guess it almost doesn't matter what you're doing in any profession in this world right now. It's so hard to keep balance. And that's something we like to talk about a lot on this podcast, is just keeping that balance and making sure that you're making time for the things that are really important.
Yeah.
We also talk a lot about making sure that we make time for our art form. You mm-hmm. know, there's a lot of people that listen that have put careers on hold, you know, to whether it was for family or other jobs or whatever. And so I'm excited to hear your perspective, because I think it's so cool that you have this experience of, you know, really full-time musician. And then you also have this other side where you're now also a professor as well, right?
Yeah. I teach voice and theology. And, I originally started looking into what Sabbath means, because, between living in California and living in Nashville, I took a short sabbatical. Well, I say short, but it was really 6 to 8 months of sabbatical. And, you know, life just afforded me that opportunity. And, you know, I started out thinking, oh, I'm going to do this Sabbath right. You know, my type A personality, my go get 'em personality was like, I'm going to read every book there is on Sabbath. I'm going to do all this research and I'm going to do this right. I'm going to get an A in Sabbath. And so I realized about day three days in, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't rest. I can't relax. I don't know what this means, you know, and Sabbath is not really a vacation. If it was a vacation or leisure time, God would have described it as that in scripture. And so I thought that Sabbath was just not working. And I thought, oh, because I'm not working, I'm Sabbathing. And it really didn't work like that. And, as you know, a lot of people can attest, you go on a vacation and you're not working and you come back just as tired, if not more tired than when you went, especially if you have kids, yeah. Which, you know, and Chrissy does too. And so I think I just needed to find out exactly what Sabbath meant. It's a bit of a moving target in scripture. You know, it's mentioned a lot and in different ways. And so I had to kind of go through all the different ways it was mentioned in scripture so that I could really delve into what it meant and specifically what it meant for me in that time.
Okay. So Tasha, what do you think most people see Sabbath as, or what's the traditional view of Sabbath?
I think the most traditional view of Sabbath is what's laid out in Genesis, and, you know, 6 days God worked and created, and then on the seventh day he rested. And I think, you know, later in the Old Testament, Israel's called to pattern themselves about, you know, okay, edit. Later in Exodus, Israel is called to pattern themselves after, you know, God's creation. And so Sabbath becomes a law, and it's, you know, one of the Ten Commandments to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. But I think, you know, we have no problem, or maybe some of us do have a problem, not murdering. You know, we don't have a problem keeping some of the commandments, but
I am 100% on that one.
Me too, A+.
Oh my gosh. So we don't have a problem keeping those commandments, but we don't keep Sabbath. And I think usually it's just because people don't understand it. I don't think they know how to keep it, when that commandment was one of the more detailed and elaborate ones. And we're not just told what to do, but we're told why. And then, you know, it included men, women, slaves, cattle, and even land. And I think it was a built-in pressure release. So, yeah, I think by the time Jesus comes on the scene, you know, Sabbath is just rote religion. It's got a bunch of rules, but he says, you know, I haven't come to abolish the law. I've come to fulfill it. And he gives it new meaning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our cultural view of Sabbath, is really different than the biblical view of Sabbath. And I think for my life personally, like, I've seen what's happened to me, and sometimes I've physically gotten so sick, mm-hmm. For long periods of time and been in bed. And I wonder, looking back, if I would have kept that commandment, and would have really done what God asked me to do, would I be laying here in bed for months at a time?
Exactly. I think God knew, you know, everything we need is in Him, and He's patterned everything out that we could ever need in life. And I think one of the biggest things that changed for me, I read a book by Mark Buchanan called The Rest of God. And it was one of the books I read during the season of studying Sabbath. And, you know, he talks about Sabbath being just a time for us to remember what God has done for us. And, you know, more than Israel ever kept the Sabbath kept Israel. And I think that's what you're talking about, Chrissy, is that time keeping us and keeping us fresh. And when the Israelites kept Sabbath, they really needed a spirit of remembrance during that time. They had to remember who God was, who they were, and then how He had delivered them. So He had, you know, brought them out of Egypt. He had provided manna in the desert. He was a fire by night and a cloud by day. And, you know, every time the Israelites didn't remember that, you know, they grumbled and they complained and they're like, oh, that we were back in Egypt. And God was trying to say, I've always kept you. I've always delivered you. You can trust in me. And, you know, in psychology, our memory or our identity is made up of our memories. So as our memory erodes, so does our identity. And, you know, even people who've had physical abuse, you know, sexual abuse, sometimes they'll have a memory block and they'll cut some of that out of their memory because it's their body's way of protecting them and protecting their identity and who they know themselves to be. And so, you know, our memories shape and guide us. And so when God says, you know, remember this, and even in Exodus, He says, you know, write this on a scroll so that Joshua hears it, so he remembers it. When we take time, busyness erodes our memory. The more we go about things and we don't take time out and we don't take a break, we start to forget things, right? Mm-hmm. Forget my keys. I forget, you know, to pick up the kids from school. I forget all kinds of things.
That's happened before.
Exactly. So I think it's important to know that we're taking that time to remember who we are, who God is, and what He's done for us. And that gives us a completely different outlook on everything that we're doing.
Okay, so if Sabbath, I mean, I even say the word Sabbath and it sounds so big and like...
Sabbath!
I mean, it's so holy, so set apart. So I don't know, can you just break down like what it, like what's another contemporary word we could use for Sabbath? Would you call it rest? Would you call it take a break? Would you call it...
Would you call it get a facial? Would you call it meditation?
Well, I think...
Go to the pool.
I think that's where we've kind of got it wrong. Like I said earlier, we think that Sabbath is just not working or doing something that we like, which it could include that, but really it's a holy work that we do when we take Sabbath rest. And it's really about worship. And when the Israelites took Sabbath, they were together and they remembered and worshiped God and all the things that He had done for them. And so sometimes we forget that the work that we're doing on that Sabbath day is really the work of worship. And, you know, worship is communion with God, where we center our mind's attention and our heart's affection on Him. And when we get busy and forget things, we don't remember God and who He is. So in order to take Sabbath, we've got to slow down. And that's why a lot of church services, I'm not exactly sure that we're actually remembering Sabbath when we go to certain churches, because there's no downtime. There's no time of reflection for the congregation. There's no, sometimes the whole service isn't really about God even. I mean, it feels terrible saying that, but for some churches, it's not even about that. And it's not corporate. You know, when God made his covenant, he made it with a people, not with a person. And so sometimes we just forget, it becomes rote religion, just like the Pharisees. We go to church and we do the thing that we're supposed to do and we leave, and we might not have even spoken to anybody in the congregation. Like, we just go do our thing and we leave. And I don't really think that's Sabbath, because part of remembering what God has done for us is the power of our testimony. Mm-hmm. I mean, you feel that encouragement when you go to lunch or breakfast or spend time with somebody and you talk about what God's done in your life. You leave and you feel encouraged. You feel refreshed. And that's another way that scripture talks about Sabbath, is sort of an anticipation. And so there's an anticipation of a future rest and God working out his plans in our life because we can trust him.
Let me just jump in here, because I think that what you just said is huge for people who are planning services and leading worship, that space is so important. And I think it's really been cool to see the evolution in the last, I don't know, 5-10 years, where I do think a lot of churches are realizing our focus has to be put back on the Lord and reflecting on why we're really there, you know, lyrically, specifically in songs that we're choosing and that kind of thing. But I think it just, you know, sometimes we can take a cue from even like a more liturgical setting where there is space. There is even sometimes instrumental time where you're just reflecting or quiet in a service, you know. And I think that that's huge for some of you listening out there, that we don't have to fill every single space with sound, with talking, but every space needs to be intentional, you know. And so some of that can be that space to just reflect on who he is. I know you also mentioned that community aspect. And sometimes we do like the meet and greets and that kind of thing in church, and people either love it or hate it, you know, but that's kind of part of it. That's part of that, you know, what you're talking about.
Well, back to what you said about space and worship. If Sabbath is worship, and worship is centering our mind's attention and our heart's affection on the Lord, then it's a relationship. It's not one-sided. A relationship would be really unhealthy if just one person spoke all the time. And if we're the only ones saying anything to God and we don't create that space for him to speak back, then it's not a healthy relationship. Mm. And so in worship, it's just like, you know, a heart monitor. It goes up and down, and there's space and there's bumps and, you know, ups and downs throughout the thing. And so we've got to have the same in our worship services. We've got to have the pinnacles and the valleys and the space in between. And that's how you know you're alive. And so I think it's important to allow space for God to speak to people, for them to quiet themselves so that their memories affirm who God is and what he's done in their lives. And that's what's going to cause that refreshment and that rest. Mm. Just not working, sometimes that doesn't give us any energy. We're even more tired when we kind of lay around and Netflix all day. Like,
that sounds amazing.
I know. It does right now, huh?
I don't remember that happening.
That was what you did yesterday, right? Just kidding.
Well, yeah, so there is an aspect of rejuvenating and energy that comes from actually worship, mm-hmm. is what you're saying.
Exactly.
And honestly, I don't get any more I don't know, vibrant about life and alive and just, you know, I don't ever feel like my heart is flourishing as much as when I hear God actually speak to me. I mean, it's not me even speaking to him. And yeah, that's what you're saying. In worship, that gives us an opportunity. You know, the songs are supposed to give us things to put on our lips to help us guide our hearts through that process of worship. And, you know, sometimes that's amazing. And you know, and we can speak all day long to the Lord, but it's in the response. It's mm-hmm. in the response he gives to us that's where I get energy. When I see God move, holy cow, I get so excited. There's nothing that makes me feel that way.
Yeah. And I think for worship leaders and people who are working in the ministry, it's hard sometimes because the Sabbath, the typical Sabbath, as in Sunday, is not our Sabbath a lot of times. Like, mm-hmm. we're working, we're thinking about the production, we're thinking about, are the slides right? Yeah. Is the rest of the team here? Are they on time? Is everything working properly? So there are so many things going through our heads. And even throughout the week, you know, we're planning, we're planning, we're planning, and we don't rest. And, you know, Tim Keller says, anyone who can't rest is a slave. And Christianity is not about being a slave. It's about freedom. Mm. And when you are a slave to working, and you're a slave to those things that you feel like you should do. Oh, I should do this. I should do, especially as women, we battle that all the time. Oh, I should do this. I should. And you should all over yourself. You should all over yourself.
Okay. Wow.
I didn't say it.
Okay.
So you can edit that out if you want.
No.
But it's okay. You know, to rest requires trust. And it's like what I was saying earlier, when God told Joshua to circumcise the men of Israel, circumcision made them defenseless because they were surrounded by their enemies, by the Canaanites. They were in an exposed condition. And, you know, they had to trust God for their protection. They had to trust him with everything. And, you know, Jesus says it's not about a circumcision of the flesh anymore. It's about a circumcision of the heart. And so what is it in our hearts that we have to lay down and cause him to wound so he can heal, cause him to rip off that Band-Aid? What are the things that he wants to heal in us so that, you know, we can get that rest from him and get that sense of, God, you are faithful and you'll always protect me. Mm. And I can rest being surrounded by my enemies, you know, even though an army encamps about me, I can rest because I know you're my protector. And that trust is what causes us to be able to step away from work, because we don't have to do everything. We don't have to be the ones to make everything happen. Mm. He's in control, and it's about laboring the right way.
So, quick question about worship leaders. Is it possible for them to Sabbath on Sunday?
Yeah, I think it depends. You know, a lot of people ask me, well, should you take Sabbath for a 24-hour period? Is that? And of course, that is what the commandment says. It's a day, which is 24 hours for us. But, you know, it's also, I don't know. Because after all my research, all my reading, what I do know is that Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. There were a lot of times in the New Testament when people tried to trap Jesus and say, well, you're not doing it the prescribed way as the Old Testament. And he says, yeah, but it's not about a circumcision of the flesh anymore. It's circumcision of the heart. It's not this the letter of the law, it's the spirit of the law. And so that's when he said, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man. So in that respect, it seems as if we can follow the Spirit's leading in that. You know, I think Jesus, whenever we have a question, he's our model. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are a lot of times where he rushed to heal someone. And then there were times where he waited to heal someone, like with Lazarus. There were times when he performed a miracle right away, and then times when he didn't. There were times when he was with crowds of people, and then times when he was completely alone, times when he was just with a few. And all of that, you know, seems to present the fact that he was spirit-led. Mm. And he says, I do what I see my Father do. And I think in that respect, as far as Sabbath goes, we've just got to be spirit-led. Mm. Because for some people, it might not be even plausible for them to take a full 24 hours. Maybe they need to take two nights a week, mm-hmm. Or three nights a week after 6 o'clock and do it like that. I think it's more that it's not just a day, it's also a disposition. It's also the way you look at things, and it's being spirit-led in the way you're working, and it's about approaching the work that you have to do, because I'm a type A person. I have all my to-do lists. I have you know, all these things I want to accomplish, and yet I can go a full day and try to get all these things done, and then at the end of the day, I'm like, what did I actually accomplish today? Or I can take the first part of the day and say, Spirit, lead me in my to-do list today. Lead me in what you want me to do today. And I've noticed that when I do that, it changes the face of my entire day, because I end up getting all the things done, and then I also have a sense of purpose and a sense of joy and a sense of rest, and the whole day feels more balanced when I look at that, look at life as more of a disposition of Sabbath. It's a way of seeing, it's a way of knowing, it's a way of viewing my whole week. It's a theology of rest and work. And I think that's what shifted during that sabbatical that I took, is, okay, this is not just about the day. It's about the rest of the week too. It's about time in general.
That's good. I was just going to ask you kind of, you know, and you kind of answered it already, but from a practical standpoint, you know, what does it look like? Or is it just that disposition? You know, I know some people, if they're listening and they have never really taken time, or they've taken time to try to rest, like we were talking about, but they haven't intentionally been listening and mm-hmm. worshiping. Where do they get started? What's a good way to start? You know, do they just plan certain times to get started, to get in the, you know, get it in their headspace? You know, I mean, where's a good place to start?
Yeah, I would start wherever they can and asking God, Lord, help me, because there's never going to be time. You're never going to have extra time. You're always going to have to make it. Mm-hmm. And God is a redemptive God. He is the Lord, our Redeemer. And if we are going to give him our time, he redeems everything. So he will redeem our time. And I think that's what I was saying about my to-do list and stuff, is when I offer him my life as a living sacrifice, I'm offering him my time just as well as my gifts and talents and my work. I'm offering him my rest just as much as my work. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important to just ask the Holy Spirit, because like I said, you guys, after all the research, I don't know if it's a hard and fast 24 hours. I just try to be sensitive to what God is saying. And, you know, there are weeks that it's a full 24 hours for me. And there are times when it looks a little bit different. But, you know, Jack Hayford said something one time that I never forgot. He said, I was asking him about his devotional time and stuff. And he said, I just stay with Jesus until he warms my heart. I don't have a set time. I don't have, oh, I've got to get 30 minutes in. Oh, I have to stay for, I have to read my Bible for this amount of time. Because then it can get legalistic mm-hmm. if you do that. And Jesus wasn't legalistic at all. And so I kind of take him and Jack Hayford as my models. Jesus and Jack Hayford.
Jesus and Jack.
But I think it's important, you know, and he said, whether it's 15 minutes or 2 hours, I just stay till he warms. And we all know that feeling mm-hmm. when we've been with God and we feel that refreshment come. Like you said, Chrissy, you know when he's spoken to you, and then all of a sudden you have a robust confidence that you didn't have before, because you have that promise of his word in your spirit now that you didn't have before. And I would say just be spirit led. Try to carve out, like the Ten Commandments, try to carve out a day. But if you absolutely can't see that happening, do whatever you can to make that happen and see what the Lord does. It's kind of like tithing, like test. It says you can test him in that mm-hmm. and give him that first fruits and see what he does with it. And I think it could be the same with Sabbath.
That's awesome. Well, and I think, you know, just hearing you and hearing about Sabbath, I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, lots of women out there that are busy and that are working. And I'm also thinking about moms that have lots of kids. And a lot of times when you have little ones, you can't even go to the bathroom by yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, literally. So we understand that there are seasons. And you know what I love? too, is that the Lord understands your season.
Yeah.
And I remember being in college and I was so tired and I was trying to study for exams. And then I was like, oh, I didn't do my devotions today. And I opened up my Bible and I was so tired, but I was so determined. I am going to get my time in today. And I opened up to a verse that said, come with me to a quiet place and get some rest. And it just was like, that was Sabbath to me. That was the Lord telling me, I know right where you are. I know how tired you are. And guess what? I just want you to rest. I'm not requiring anything of you. Go to sleep. Yeah. And it's just really, you know, God understands our seasons that we're in. He understands our paths. He put us there. And so of all people, he understands the most. But like you said, Tasha, I do believe that making a time that you regularly carve out, it really blesses him because it shows him the priority that you're making.
Absolutely. You know, Mark Buchanan said that good Sabbath keeping is the practice, mostly through thankfulness, of the presence of God until you're utterly convinced of his goodness and sovereignty, until he's bigger and you find your rest in him alone. And I think we try to find our rest in so many other things and instead of him, when we all know that a moment in his presence can heal something or fix something we've battled for many years. Mm-hmm. And he can do in an instant what we try to do for so long and with so much effort. And I think it's important to know that even that small amount of time that you're spending with him, out of the week, because proportionately it seems like a small amount of time, just one day out of seven. You have six more. It doesn't seem like that a lot of times, but he does really redeem the time. He really does.
I love that. And I think it's really difficult as leaders, you know, people that are leading a ministry or creatives that are trying to spend as much of that precious alone time that they have creating. But I also think that that is what makes us a good leader, that makes us a good creator, you know? And so I think it's absolutely huge. And I feel like whether you're a busy mom or you're leading a ministry or whatever is kind of standing out as you listen to this, the people you're leading, whether that's in your home or in a ministry, are going to do what you're going to do, you know, and you can't teach, you can't teach rest and Sabbath and worship very well if you're not doing it yourself, you know?
Exactly.
So I'm so challenged by everything that you shared, Tasha. It's been really good. And I know there are a ton of people who just absolutely need to hear this. And I think it's especially important in our culture to just remember that. And just the thing that stood out to me that I'm going to write down and save is that you said, to rest requires trust, you know, and I'm offering him my rest just as much as my work. And that's huge for me because I'm pretty type A myself. And I feel like if I'm not constantly working, that I'm not doing enough to honor him.
And,
you know?
And we feel guilty as women. We feel guilty about everything. I feel guilty all the time. Oh, I'm not doing enough, or I'm not doing it right, or I'm not enough. I mean, those are the lies that the enemy tells us. And you know, you mentioned creatives, and I think after all the creating that we're doing, like, we have to be recreated. And that's God's, that's the gospel. He's recreating us at all times, and he is the ultimate creator. We're most like him when we're creating because he is that. And so as creative people, sometimes we don't take time to be recreated and be refreshed. I think that's really important.
So, and I also loved what you said about it's where you're finding your rest. That is huge. And we all find ways to rest, whether we admit it or not, whether it is going to the pool or whether it is, you know, fill in the blank, whatever you do to find your rest. But I think it's just a great reminder that he is where we need to find our rest, ultimately. Not that some of those other fun things are bad, because
no, I think they're
we've
great.
Already been to the salt cave.
We have.
And
we had our feet detoxed.
Got our feet detoxed. And what else do we do? Another foot thing.
Pedicure. Oh, gosh. Pedicures.
So any more feet things we can do, let us know, because that seems to be our theme. But anyways, we love doing all those fun, girly, relaxing things, but that's not Sabbath.
Mm-mm.
And so I think it's just really important to hear that. I think it's, where are you finding your rest? And is it truly in Him? That's huge. Well, Tasha, thank you so much for being on Brave Worship with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, we think you're amazing. And I hope everybody will go check out your new album coming out.
Yeah.
Where's it going to be, or where can they find it?
Well, I'm going to post it all over social media. So if you follow me on Instagram and Twitter and all that, it'll be out there.
And what is your Instagram name again?
Tasha Layton.
Okay. Layton.
Yep.
Okay. So look for her out there, guys, if you want to stay connected with her. Oh, well, I hope everybody has a great week, and I hope that you find Sabbath as you walk through your week.
Amen. Thanks, Tasha.
Thank you.
Don't forget to check us out at braveworship.com. Make sure you get on our email list for free song downloads and chord charts.
Anything else we're supposed to remember?
Ta-da!
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. Be brave, be strong, and don't give up.
The times I've grown most as a songwriter are the times I've had mentors showing me the way. If you're looking to grow as a songwriter, we're now accepting applications for our Worship Songwriter Mentorship. Now, it's available only a few times each year. The Worship Songwriter Mentorship is a songwriting intensive that will help you craft impactful worship songs. It's a course created by Dove Award-winning and Grammy-nominated, drumroll here please, our founder, pro songwriter Chrissy Nordoff. It's a small group community, and it's led by other songwriters over the course of 9 weeks. It's an intensive course in a small group co-writing environment, and that means you'll be added to a special group of about 12 writers, give or take. Each group is led by experienced songwriters, some of them my dear, dear friends, and I've even gotten to lead a group or two. Rachel here, by the way. We love the church, and we love to champion fellow worship songwriters just like yourself. In this mentorship, you'll learn how to write songs for you and your congregation. You'll go deeper in your intimacy with Jesus. You'll get the tools needed to help craft songs more easily and never run out of creative ideas. Okay, I know it sounds too good to be true, but trust me, this course is a game changer. You'll learn how to leverage your unique songwriting personality and connect with other like-minded writers in a meaningful way. Truly, I can't think of another course, group of people, community that has impacted my songwriting the way that this mentorship has. If you're wanting to take the next steps in your songwriting journey, then apply now at the link in our show notes. We hope to see you there.